Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
After his conversion, Paul spent almost 10 years in obscurity. An absolute waste of time, so thought some. Think of what an exciting story Paul could have told. After all, how many people could top Paul's roadside encounter with Jesus Christ? He was blinded by a brilliant light. He literally heard the voice of Jesus. It was for real, not something conjured up by indigestion in the night. Then after he was led to Damascus, his sight was restored supernaturally. As an old disciple, Ananias prayed for Paul, gently placing his hands on this man who had been the number one enemy of the church. Then something like scales fell from his eyes. His sight was restored. Talk about a remarkable story. Wow! This was the kind of stuff that would draw crowds. Forget those dusty, dry orations in the synagogue. Get this guy booked for the main event. He could draw a crowd that would make a soccer match look like a Sunday school picnic. No, God didn't have that in mind. After 3 years in the desert, probably Saudi Arabia, Paul spent the next 7 years of his life making tents back in his hometown, Tarsus. No, he didn't write books. He didn't teach or lecture. He certainly didn't make promotional guest appearances. He sewed canvas and made tents. Occupational therapy? Better than that. God was remaking the man into something that he could use. When Paul cried out, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" He was asking for options. No, he was signing on the bottom line. He was committed. The issue was settled. "Ah," you sigh, "I thought if we really commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, we can start looking for the spotlight, knowing that God is going to do something great with us." Strange ideas we get about commitment. Everett Howard grew up as a PK, that's a preacher's kid. After he finished school, he was still struggling with his life goals, and finally he decided that once and for all he would commit his life to Christ. Going to the little church his dad pastored, he entered and then locked the doors so no one could embarrass him or interrupt this great transaction which was about to take place. Kneeling at the altar, he took a piece of paper and listed all of the wonderful things he intended to do for God. It included even his willingness to be a missionary. He also gave God some second options, like giving to the church, reading his Bible, being a pretty good guy. In his own words, "Then when I had finished that well-written page, I signed my name at the bottom and laid it on the altar. There alone in the church, I looked up and waited for thunder and lightning or some act of approval from the Lord. I thought I might experience what St. Paul did on the road to Damascus or something equally dramatic. But nothing happened, absolutely nothing. He heard no voices, he felt nothing, he was disappointed, he prayed again, going over the deal he wanted to make with God, and then he said it happened. I felt the voice of God speaking in my heart," he later recounted, adding, "I just felt in my own soul a voice speak so clearly. It said, 'Son, you're going about it wrong. I don't want a consecration like this, just tear up the paper you've written.' I said, 'All right, Lord.' And I took the paper I had written so carefully and wadded it up. Then the voice of God seemed to whisper again, 'Son, I want you to take a blank piece of paper and sign your name on the bottom of it and let me fill it in.'" And that was exactly what Everett Howard did, and for the next 36 years, God filled in that page one day at a time. Friend, that's what it's all about. Sign your name and let God fill in the blanks.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.